The following is from Eagle Heights in Stillwater, Oklahoma. For more information on Eagle Heights, visit eagleheights.com.
Good morning. My name is Tyson Auctioner. I'm one of the elders here at Eagle Heights. If I haven't met you yet, I hope you get the chance to do that soon. Really glad to have you here to worship with us today. If you've been with us, you know that we've early on in a series now through the book of Romans, and we're working through the book of Romans, and that's where we'll start today. But it's really kind of a launching off point for a topic that we want to address. We discussed as elders and felt like it would be good for us to address. So we'll address it today. Let's begin by opening your copy of the Word of God to Romans chapter 1. If you would, Romans chapter 1 and find verse 24. That's where we will begin. So please open your Bible or look on, share with your neighbor. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 24. We're going to read through verse 28. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. So I want to introduce the topic today just with some questions for you to think about. Look in verse 24. Lust of their hearts to impurity. And I wonder, what are the limits to lust and impurity in the hearts of men and women? Verse 26. Dishonorable passions. And I want you to wonder for a moment, how dishonorable can our passions become as we turn from God and suppress the truth about Him? Verse 28, a debased mind. I wonder what boundaries will a debased mind honor? In verse 28 also, the things which ought not to be done. And I wonder what all is included in that huge and dark category of things which ought not to be done. And today we're going to speak about one of those things, and it's sexual abuse. So you may wonder, well, okay, that's not why I came to church this morning to hear about that. So why have we chosen to address this topic? I want to give you two reasons why we choose to address this topic. The first is love, and the second is context. Okay, so love. Many of us are affected, have been affected by sexual abuse or assault. And those effects can be very harmful and very isolating. So if you have not been affected, this may just seem strange to you what I'm saying when I say many people have been affected. So I want to give, if you will help me, a little visual sort of demonstration. These rows of chairs, each little row of chairs has maybe about eight on average, six or eight chairs in it, but they're not all full. So if you are sitting to the left, if you're the last, if there's no one to your left in your row of chairs, so you're the last one on this end of your row, could you please stand? if you're the last one on this end. So each person who's the, there you go. Yeah, that's right. Okay, just stand. And this is a visual thing to show about 1 in 5 adults have been sexually abused at some point in their life. So in this room, roughly this many people have been affected by sexual abuse. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you. So if our time today in talking about this helps one person in this room, then it's worth it. Or if it helps us protect and prevent one person from being affected, then it's worth it. Just out of love for you, love for each other. So it's worth it. Love's the first reason. Context is the second reason. I want to present three kinds of context. Personal context, social or cultural context, and then biblical context. Okay, so first of all, some personal context. When I was younger, there was a man, and he was a friend of mine and of my family. And occasionally we would be alone or in private together, one-on-one. And during those times, after a while, he started to make some inappropriate comments about the private parts of my body. And then he started to make some, would then occasionally make some inappropriate jokes or say things that were not appropriate. And that went on for some time. And then one day, he told me to go with him, and I went with him, and he took me to a place that was very isolated. And there was no one around. He was a big man, and I was cornered. I was trapped. And it was his intention to abuse me. And he told me what he planned to do, what he wanted to do. And then I remember him standing there. I remember looking at him, and he stopped. He couldn't do it. I don't know what stopped him. I thank God he couldn't do it. And so I escaped. I was delivered that day, and I praise God for that. Some of you, that moment came, and you weren't delivered. You weren't saved from it. You went through it, and you know what I'm talking about. And I just want to say, I'm so sorry for you and for what happened. So I speak out of personal context, and then I also speak sort of from a social or cultural context. April in the U.S. is Sexual Abuse Awareness Month. So it's fitting in that sense, in the timing, for us to mention this. But more important than that, there's also a biblical context that I want you to see, because I think it's easy to miss or to not catch it. I want you to know today that when Paul was writing about sexual immorality, sexual abuse is one of the things that he had in mind. So to see that, I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to see Paul here in this passage speak about sexual abuse. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. You see here, many of the same words and phrases that we saw in Romans chapter 1 about impurity and about holiness and sexual immorality. But here it's explicit where Paul says that no one should transgress or wrong their brother or sister in the area of their sexual behavior. Okay, so I want to just speak for a moment, okay? We have younger people and children in our audience in the room today, so I want you to understand, even if you're not really clear what sex means or what that is, okay, we're talking about the private parts of your body. We're talking about your bathing suit areas, okay? That's what we're talking about. And in those areas, those parts of your body, those belong to you. And no one should abuse or transgress against you in those areas. It's the will of God, verse 3, we just read in verse 3. It's the will of God that we abstain from sexual immorality. You see it right at the heart of sanctification. What's the first thing he says? It's God's will is your sanctification. And the first thing that comes to mind is that you abstain from sexual immorality. That we control our own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, verses 4 and 5. And that no one transgress or wrong his brother in this matter. Now here it says brother, but in the Greek, this would be the kind of word that could also be used to mean brothers and sisters in Christ. This is inclusive, okay? Men and women, boys and girls in Christ. Okay, that no one should be wronged in this matter. Sexual abuse, you see, connect it to the text here. Instead of the person controlling their own body in holiness and honor, in sexual abuse, someone else takes control of someone's body and uses it and brings dishonor to that person. Without their consent. Sexual abuse is driven by lust. It dishonors and wrongs the victim, and it's a transgression against God, who is working for that person's sanctification. And what I want us to hear very clearly in verse 6, the Lord is an avenger of all these things. I don't know how you could give any stronger warning than that. And Paul felt that it was necessary to give this warning to the church in Thessalonica. So I feel it's necessary to give this warning to the church at Eagle Heights. The Lord is an avenger. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews chapter 10. So when Paul was writing in Romans about sexual immorality, I think we can be sure that one of the things he had in mind was sexual abuse, okay? He doesn't want us to be ignorant or uninformed or just to ignore that issue, okay? So there's basically two things left that I want to do in our time together. Number one, I want to give a little bit of basic information for you about sexual abuse. And number two, I want to let the light of the gospel of Christ shine on this issue of sexual abuse. So first of all, basic information. When we say sexual abuse, what is it? Okay, what does it mean? This might be a good time for taking some notes. If you want to get out your information guide or a pen and paper, whatever you have, you can maybe take a couple of notes here that might help you later. So sexual abuse is any type of sexual interaction where consent is not freely given or obtained and is often accomplished through force, intimidation, coercion, deception, or abuse of authority. Okay, let me say that again. Sexual abuse is any type of sexual interaction where consent is not freely given or obtained, is often accomplished through force, intimidation, coercion, deception, or abuse of authority. Okay, kids, this is any kind of interaction that an older kid or an adult might have with you where they're doing something that you don't want them to do in regards to your body. Any sort of sexual activity that involves an adult and a child is by definition sexual abuse. Okay, there is no consenting sexual activity between an adult and a child. So let's be very clear about that. And then thirdly, I think sometimes we're too narrow in our concept of what sexual abuse is, right? Because sexual abuse can happen and no one's touching each other, right? I mean, I don't want to spell out all the details here, but sexual abuse very often can involve abusive, inappropriate looking, talking, touching, showing, okay? Inappropriate showing or looking can also be sexual abuse. So who are the victims? Okay, just a little bit of information. Both men and women, boys and girls, are victims of sexual abuse. About 1 in 4 women and about 1 in 6 men have been sexually abused at some point in their life. When we talk about child sexual abuse, so abuse of children under the age of 18, the median, if you're in statistics, the median age is 10 years old. So one way to think of that is half of the victims are younger than 10 and half are older than 10. Okay? So, but every age can be affected. There are cases of 3-month-old babies being abused. There are cases of 80-year-old people in retirement centers being abused. So it spans the whole gamut. Another group worth mentioning for us, college women. College women. About 14% of undergraduate women in one study reported that they had been sexually abused since they started college. About 14%. Who are the abusers? 90% of the abusers are male. 10% are female. And I say male and I don't say men because boys also are abusers, not only men. For child sexual abuse, about 30% of the abusers are members of the family. 30% of the time, When a child is mistreated in this way, it's dad or brother, uncle, cousin, stepdad, stepbrother. 60% of the cases, it's not a member of the family, but it's somebody that the child knows. Okay? So think about that. We often warn our kids, don't we? Don't talk to strangers. Well, that's probably good advice, but strangers account for only 10% or less of the cases of child sexual abuse. So, unfortunately, it hits a lot closer to home than that. For college women, similar story, okay, for you young women. For college women, again, 9 out of 10 times, the woman had some prior relationship or prior knowledge of the person who does the abuse. So, yes, we should be perhaps leery of strangers, but the danger's closer than that. What are the effects? Well, we can only just touch the tip of the iceberg in the effects. I'll mention two categories of effects. Sexual abuse results in harmful feelings, and it results in harmful actions. Okay, so think about that. Harmful feelings, harmful actions. For somebody that's been abused, they can really struggle with an inability to trust others. Maybe because the person that abused them was somebody they trusted, number one. Or number two, they tried to tell somebody what happened, and that person didn't believe them. So you can really struggle with an inability to trust. If you've been abused, you may really struggle with feeling like something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. You may feel that. You may feel guilty or dirty. 2 Samuel chapter 13. There's the incident of in David's family. The brother, the half-brother says, hey, come into my, I feel sick. Would you come and make some food for me? And his sister, half-sister comes in and she's making food for him. And he says, okay, send everybody else out of the room. And then he says, come lie with me. And he's going to abuse her. And she tries to escape. And she says, no, she pleads with him, don't do this. Don't do this awful thing. This kind of thing's not done in Israel. And she says, you'd be like a crazy person if you do this. And she says, as for me, where can I carry my shame? So there's often a very deep sense of shame that's associated or felt by those who are abused. And to that point, let me just mention, let me remind us of our Savior, who was shamed for us, stripped, beaten, exposed publicly for us. He bore our sorrows and our griefs. So if you're feeling that shame or that grief today, there's one who is there and who knows what it's like. Harmful actions also result. Survivors of sexual abuse are more likely to experience depression. We're more likely to commit suicide. They're more likely to develop substance abuse problems. They're more likely to engage in sexual immorality of various kinds. So this is serious stuff. And there's a lot of darkness in everything that I just said. So I want to move now to the light. want to move to the light, and we want to let the light of the gospel shine on our brokenness here to help us. So would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, just back a few pages in your Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, in there. Ephesians chapter 5, we want to just walk through this passage with you, starting in verse 3, and just let the light shine. I just want to let the light shine, the light of Christ to shine here in this area. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. So the light of the gospel comes, and the first thing that it does is it exposes our sin. The light of the gospel exposes wickedness and immorality. So I want to speak especially to every man and boy in this room, men and boys. Listen. Verse 4. Is there filthiness in your life? For instance, are you looking at pornography? Are you staying up late to watch movies on cable? Is there foolish talk or crude jokes in your life? Verse 4. Do you lack sexual self-control? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Is a passion of lust burning in your heart? If so, I just want to say to you, on the basis of God's word, that you're on the path to become someone who abuses others in this way. So let your eyes be open to the reality of your sin. And the other thing that happens when the light of the gospel shines in this way is it brings to light, it illuminates the wrath of God against sin. Let's go to verse 5. Ephesians 5, verse 5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You hear what that says? Listen, here's what it says. You can be sure of this. If you are sexually immoral, you have no part in the kingdom of God. That's what it says. Verse 5. Don't be deceived with empty words. Don't be deceived by empty prayer that you said when you were 7 years old. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes, and it's coming. The Lord is the avenger of sexual abuse. So I want that light to shine. I want the light to shine and expose our sin, our brokenness. I want it to shine and expose the wrath of God. And more than that, I want it to keep shining to bring life, to bring healing. That's what it's for. Look with me in verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them, that is, with the sons of disobedience. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that's good and right and true. And try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That's what we want today. That Christ would shine. Listen, God is calling us, brothers and sisters, to break fellowship with those who walk in darkness, with the sons of disobedience. You once were darkness. Everyone, apart from Christ, we're born in darkness, and we exist in darkness apart from Christ. But in Him, when you trust in Him, you become light in the Lord. And so you must live as children of the light. Verse 8. So let our lives be marked by everything that's good, everything that's true, everything that's right and beautiful. Let that be what marks our lives. Let's have nothing to do with works of darkness, with sexual sins done in secret. Rather, verse 11, expose them by the light of Christ. So I want to plead with you today, if you're struggling with sexual immorality, or you have abused, or you are abusing, for the sake of your soul, I plead with you to come into the light today. Start to tell the truth today. Confess. Repent. Pray for mercy today. God's grace is sufficient for you and me. If you are somebody that's been abused and that's hurt you, and maybe it's still hurting you, there are so many reasons why we don't tell anyone what has happened or what is happening. There are many, many reasons why we don't tell. But you need to come, bring it to the light so that the light of Christ can shine in your life and bring healing. I plead with you, if you're hurting in this way, if you need help, come to the light. Start today. Begin. Take a step to tell the truth. You can be sure of this. Verse 14. Christ will shine on you if you come into the light. And His light will wake us, you, from spiritual sleeping, slumber in darkness. His light will give life to those who are spiritually dead. That's what it's for. Christ is the light of the world, so let Him shine into your life. And don't be afraid of the light. The light gives wisdom. In closing, look at verse 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. So you may have heard everything that I've said, and you just feel like this doesn't apply to me. It's not hitting home for me. All of us have a role to play as protectors. If there's somebody that you love, especially young women or children, anyone, relative or not, that you love, be a protector for them. Think carefully about how you live, it says in the scripture. So adults and young people, be actively protecting others from sexual abuse. Young people and children, be actively protecting yourself. Pray for wisdom, and then start to talk about this issue especially with young women and with children who are most often affected. Make the best use of the time because the days are evil. Brothers and sisters, we know that the whole world lies under the control of the evil one. So let's live with wisdom and light. Start today. Do one thing today. Would you? Do one thing. Look, take this insert out of your information guide. You all have this. You received it when you came in. Find this insert. Okay, look at this. Some statistics on one side. Okay, on the other side, just some things you could do. Okay, a list of books. Books for training children. Do you love? Is there any child that you love? Get a book for them. They're like 10 bucks. Get a book. We have this book, the fourth one listed there, Yell and Tell. We have this book. And just put it in your normal stack of kids reading books. It's not, you know, it's not scary. Just put it in there. Our kids will go and they'll pick it out. Eli will go and he'll pick out the Yell and Tell book at Bedtime Stories. And it's fine. We just read it. It's just like any other thing that we can read about. But it's important. It's training him. Helpful websites. Go to one of these websites maybe and look at that and get yourself more informed and educated. Kids, if you want to go to one of those websites, do it with your parents, okay? Check it out with mom and dad and do that. Awareness and prevention tips, okay? Learn one of those tips or teach it to someone else. But take some action today. Or maybe most importantly, use this sentence. Go to somebody today and say, I need to talk with you. You know, there was a sermon at church. We talked about something and it got me thinking. And I need to talk with you. I pray that you would have the courage to do that. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, in the beginning, everything was darkness, and your spirit was hovering over the surface of the deep. And you said, let there be light. And there was light. So would you now come into our darkness and let the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ shine in our hearts and save us and give us life. In Jesus' name, amen.